Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
I think it's safe to say that we have, as far as the movie goes, Blinded by the Light, we have the most important people in our studio
there
right
we go.
Now. So we have writer, director, and two of the stars of the film. The movie is opening on August 16th. It's getting wonderful reviews.
Yeah.
We're excited to see the film, and I apologize if I mess up your names. I'm terrible at names altogether, but we are going to welcome to the studio. We have Vivek, we have Aaron, we have Gorinda, and Sephraz, who are here.
Yeah.
Did I get any of those correct?
Perfect. You were good.
Almost.
Perfect?
Close enough. You said Aaron wrong.
Aaron? We screwed up the easiest one.
It's A.A. Ron, right? A.A.
Ron.
It's
A.A. Ron. Name's Blake.
Thank you guys for being here this morning. You know, like I said, the movie's getting rave reviews, and you guys are the key people in this project. And I don't even know where to begin other than...
Can I start?
Well, I was going to tell, if you don't mind me telling,
please,
Gorinda, who you're the director of Bend It Like Beckham. Yeah. Oh my God, do I love that movie!
Oh, bless you, thank you.
Such a wonderful film, and you know what? And
it's just a pure, joyous film.
Yeah,
and you know, it's obvious, and we know it was the biggest grossing until that damn Slumdog Millionaire movie came along, but it was the biggest grossing movie in England. But this is in sort of that realm.
Yeah.
And your movies are sort of described as like gentle comedic dramas that are of a time, that are people's stories.
Absolutely.
And they always seem to resonate. You seem to have a gift for that. So yeah, we're big fans of your work.
You know, one of the great things actually about Bend It Like Beckham for me was this recent Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
Where the small team from the US did well. Beat us out in the UK.
Yeah.
It'd be England. But what was great was so many of the players said they got into football or soccer because of watching Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh, that's very cool. That's got to be very, very cool.
Well, there was
cool.
A nice nod to the women's American team in Bend It Like Beckham, too, which was pretty
absolutely,
cool.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Good. But, yes, Blinded by the Light is... in that area that I love, you know, talking about kids whose parents might have come from somewhere else, have certain dreams for their kids, and then suddenly their kids go, that's not my dream. I've got my own dream.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there's a big chasm in the middle, and how are you going to fix that? But it's not just drama for the sake of drama, because there's a lot of love and emotion between parents and kids. But at the same time, there's a lot of, you know, fractious stuff. So I find that a really great area for drama.
You know, Gorinda, is that my
pronouncer? Yes, yes.
So this brought to mind, there's the opening scene in Bohemian Rhapsody where Freddie Mercury is on the tarmac and he's working and he's called a disparaging comment and he's kind of going through this, and he finds salvation through music.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
and it's the same. Safran, am I pronouncing it?
Yeah.
Your story is this, and we've talked about this many times. About, and you try to articulate it, and it seems that visually you're able to pull it off in the movie. How music. How you tried to describe? Because obviously, you're a music station, longest rock station in the country here.
Yeah.
And how music, how those particular songs can take a moment, and no one knows what I'm going through, and then you hear that voice, you hear that thing on the radio, and it speaks to you, and suddenly you feel a connection, and you're not alone, and that's especially
what happened to me. Yeah. But it's actually about radio as well.
Because yeah.
There's something about when you listen to a song on the radio. Where it just feels like it's just talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, and when a DJ speaks, I remember being a 16-year-old, and I used to think I had a personal relationship with the DJs. I couldn't believe that other people were also listening to them.
Likewise. You know what I mean? It meant a lot, because there were many of the experiences of, like, I remember when the night John Lennon was shot. I got all that through the radio, from second to second to all of that.
And the other thing is, when you're a kid, especially if you're a kid living in a small town and it feels like it's got not much promise in it, and
right.
You don't have people who connect with you, and you don't have parents who really speak the kind of way you want to speak, and then you hear a song or you see an artist whose words connect with you, I just think the power of that when you're a teenager just never gets replicated. Do you know what I mean?
I think you're right.
You just played Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah.
That brings me back to being 16, hearing that song and thinking, yeah, I want to get out of a dump like this, you know, and that relationship,
yeah.
And that's what this film is about. It's about being 16, discovering the music of Bruce Springsteen and thinking, this guy has the secret to the universe. This guy can take me to the promised land.
And it's funny because, and we've talked about how sometimes it is a song like that, or, you know, getting out of a dump like this, or it can be just a joyous song. But the way music, in its most unique way, has a way to address your emotions in a very prime way. Now, you as a filmmaker, Gurinder, have the ability to, you use some creative techniques to actually see the moments at which these lyrics are impacting your characters. And yeah. What made you decide to, because we're actually seeing words.
Well, here was a film where the protagonist, the lead guy, his dream is to be a writer.
Right.
And it's the words of Bruce Springsteen that talk to him. So as a director, you know, making a film where your star wants to be a writer is not necessarily cinematic.
Right.
You know? And so I had to find a way to make the words come alive, but not only come alive, be characters and be emotional in telling that story,
right,
of how music impacts you for the first time.
Were you afraid that it could become too cute to use? It had to be a bit of a risk.
Well, what I didn't want to do is do a jukebox musical.
Right.
You just had the
karaoke,
songs,
yeah.
Yeah, where you just had the songs in the background. Mm-hmm. Or, and as you say, karaoke. I had to make the words be characters. And so it was the choice of words I used. I didn't use the entire sentences, just pulled out certain words and how I animated them. And it was all through Jarvid's eyes and ears and head. What was he thinking? What was he appealing to at that time? And I think what's been interesting is a lot of people have really appreciated that I have put words up when needed, because Bruce mumbles.
Yeah. Oh, you've noticed.
You don't always know what he's
saying.
You've
noticed, yeah. The Wild, the Innocent, and the East Street Shuffle is one of those seminal albums for me. Where, yeah. And there's so many songs that I just would listen to over and over and over again. So to see words and to see things like that, Bruce himself obviously is a big proponent of it. And he's not always been that way about the use of his music in movies.
No.
So you know, that was a big score for you guys, because yeah. it clearly spoke to, if you saw his Broadway show, or it's on Netflix as well, that clearly is a major importance to him, how his message is disseminated and received. So I assume that's why you got the immediate okay about this.
Well, you know what? If you go onto the Blinded by the Light social media handle today, Safraz has put up the video of us first meeting Bruce.
And we waited a long time because it's very, very embarrassing.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah, we're not cool, calm and collected at all. We both lose ourselves.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I heard you met him briefly when you were 16.
No. Basically, what happened was in 2010, you can see this, it's there in glaring colour. In 2010 in London, he came for The Promise, you know, The Making of Darkness on
yes,
the other town.
Yeah.
And I'd written a book 3 years earlier called Greetings from Barry Park, and which was sort of told the true story,
yeah,
which this film is inspired by. And I wanted to give him the book, and basically what happens is he's there at this big premiere event, and he's walking through, and there's all these people running around, and there's flash mobs going, and I'm trying to catch his eye because I want to give him the book.
Right.
I want him to show us, this is how much you meant to me. And then, as you'll see in the video, he spots me, walks towards me, and says, hey, I just want to tell you I really loved your book.
Wow.
Whoa! What?
Oh, my God. Did you cry? You cried.
My voice went up a couple of octaves.
He did what you just did.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Exactly. That is amazing.
It's crazy.
How quickly did you have to change your pants?
Because Safra, that would just be... Are you the boy?
Yeah.
It's based on Safraz. So Safraz was freaking out, and he was saying, how did you read it? Who gave it to you? You've had the time to read it and all this. I stood there thinking, okay, this is it. I've 3 seconds before he's moved on to do a movie deal with Bruce right now, because his book is wonderful, but there'd be no movie without Bruce's blessing.
How can you do it and not use Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah,
music?
We have to have Bruce. So he was there standing in front of us. So I was like going, okay, be calm, be professional. And I turned to him and I went, hi, Bruce. I made Bendel O'Beckham. So great you're here. I'm so glad you like the book. We want to make a film. Please, will you help us? And we've kept that video quiet, actually, but Safraz and put it out today.
All right, now, now we're going to look for it.
And he just looked at us both standing there and said, Boxed his head, said, sounds good.
Nice.
Talk
nice.
To John. And wow. then that's how the movie happened.
Wow. I wanted to get Vivek and Aaron's perspective on Bruce before you got the role.
Yes.
What was your awareness of him as an artist?
Hello, I'm Vivek. And this is...
I'm Aaron.
Okay. We just want to say, just really quickly before that,
sure.
me and Aaron got the chance to meet Bruce for the first time two days ago, which was absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
And he turned up to our red carpet and everyone else
was
tipped off.
This was in Asbury Park, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. yeah.
Everyone else was tipped off. Saf was tipped off. G was tipped off. Aaron was tipped off. No one told me. He turned around the corner on the red carpet and people have asked me, like, what would you do if you met Bruce? And I was like, I just, you know... Say hello, like, hey, like, how's it going? I fell to the floor, and then, like, I bowed down to the man, and he was like, what's going on? He was probably like, what on earth's going on? Because he's quite a normal lad. But, yeah, we definitely didn't listen to Bruce beforehand, but now we are... Now we are fans.
And I think, if I hear quickly, is that your favorite song is Growing Up, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorites. That's a great song. I understand it's now a little bit harder for you to listen to more poppy stuff now that
certainly.
You've heard Springsteen.
Certainly during
are
the
you,
time.
Are you both that way, Aaron, as well?
Yeah. I'm still a rap fan, but it's nice to, it's nice to have that kind of shift because it was so far from what I usually listen to.
Right.
So it took me a while to kind of get to grips with... his style of music and that kind of genre, but of course we're playing real guys who are going to be watching it, and to resonate with the characters as well as we needed to, we had to understand what it was about this man that was, you know, that resonated so well with a 16-year-old Indian, a Muslim boy in Luton.
And it can be a tough thing because music, you know, everyone tries to, you got to listen to this, man. And some, I'm sure you've all had people go, you got to listen to it, and you don't like it. So if you don't like it, that's a tough thing to get over. But, but obviously you both managed to do that.
But the thing about this film, actually, is that although obviously in real life it was about Springsteen for me,
right?
I think you could actually substitute Springsteen for anybody that really mattered to you.
I agree,
So
I'm
getting tweets from people saying, this reminded me of the first time I heard Green Day.
Yeah.
I heard one woman who I think may have been clinically insane who basically said, this film reminded me of the first time I listened to Duran Duran.
But that's, it was impactful for her. I mean,
apparently so.
Yeah. Hungry Like the Wolf did it for her.
The name of the book was Blind...
Greetings from Berry Park.
Right.
The name of the book, yeah.
And so you grew up in Berry Park?
Yeah.
Why was the movie not named that? Because it's a great name.
It's a fantastic title, I know, but because it's a bit of a joke, because in terms of the album, first album of Springsteen is Greetings from Asbury Park.
Right. Which is what Growing Up is on.
Yeah, and exactly. So it would have worked, but I think, you know, if you think about it as on a poster, Blinded by the Light just feels like an open, happy kind of title. I have to say, a couple of days ago, we were in Asbury Park... for the premiere.
Yeah.
And the maddest thing, I was sitting next to Aaron and Vivek, and Bruce was two rows in front of us to watch the film. And the weirdest thing to be watching our film with the outline of Bruce.
That has to be. What if he turned around and, man, that sucked?
Literally, every single scene that I was in, I was like trying to turn my head so I could see if he was like laughing or not.
You just, I mean, so he's there. He's Asbury Park. Was it Southside Johnny was there as well?
Yeah.
That whole, I love that period of time of his music. And he went off in some other things that were kind of like... you know, a little different. But at that point, I think that's the purest. And to your point about speaking when you're a teenager, when you're younger, that impact, Preston was moved by the Beatles and Rush. And, you know, we all have those bands. So you're right. You can extract Bruce Springsteen and put in any band. What do you think it is about that age? It's just because you're in formative years or...
It is. I think it's because you're still being shaped, aren't you?
Yeah.
You are still being shaped and you are impressionable. I think you're impressionable.
Right.
And for me, what it was also about is, you know, I always think, like, say you live in a town which doesn't seem to have much promise and you don't have cool, you know, siblings or whatever. Music is like a window to another world, you know? If you're in Britain, if you're Britain, it can be American music. If you're in America, it might be the Smiths or it might be the Beatles or whatever. And it opens the window to something else that's possible.
Yeah, and it's Casey listened to Nick and Casey listen to a lot of music. Preston is a musician, and obviously the whole industry here that we're in radio, at least at this level, is based on music. But the marriage of cinema and music can go asunder pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think the magic is how you use music, you know, with your characters and with your story. And if you get it right, you know, one track again in a particular scene can make the whole movie.
So yeah. How hard do you slave on picking the right song for the right?
Oh, it was a very long process. And, you know, lyrics.com was my friend for a long time, you know, and got all the lyrics out, pored over them. Really wanted to make every song matter in terms of Javed's journey.
Right.
And there were situations where there were great songs that we couldn't use because they didn't fit the story we wanted to tell.
I got you.
And then there were other occasions where I knew I needed something here, but I wasn't quite sure which track. And then I'd call Safraz and he'd invariably be on the top of a bus going home or something. And I'd say, okay, here's a situation, which song? And he'd say, well, give me half an hour. And then 3 minutes later, he'd call back with like three suggestions. Like, yeah. I tried that, but that's a good idea. Let's try that. So it was forensic is the word I would use. But also in the film, the music is very choreographed, you know, how a certain line is used and not used. So in Dancing in the Dark, for example, there are lines that are very relevant, but then Bruce goes into a chorus of Dancing in the Dark, which wasn't particularly relevant at that point in the scene because I wanted to get to messages keep getting stronger. And so I had Javed press forward on the Walkman as if he's like wants to hear more and more. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he hits it right at messages keep getting stronger. And so that's how, you know, that's what I mean by choreographed.
Yeah.
And the great
yeah.
thing is about Springsteen is that, and not and many artists can do this, is their writing actually speaks to so many different things. So at the beginning, you know, you have a scene where he's in his town and he's trying, you know, he wants to get out. So you're living in a dump like this and all this. Dancing in the Dark is perfect. Later on, when there's a story arc and the story is about the relationship with his father, he's written Independence Day, which is absolutely about that. You know, later on, it might be something about, you know, not trying to find work, Badlands, you know, keep pushing every day. So the fact of Springsteen is that his lyrics actually speak to the same concerns that somebody likes Javed, so many people living in hard towns, you know, living lives they don't want. So we had that ability, and not every artist will have lyrics that are as versatile and which speak to that range of experience.
But
I was going to say, we see Bruce as, you can't get much more American than Bruce as far as an artist goes.
Yeah.
And I've always listened to him that way, speaking about, you know, when I think of the towns he's describing and so forth as an American town. Was it easy for that to translate? Did that even cross your mind when you were listening to Bruce as a kid?
You see Bruce as American. Mm-hmm. I see Bruce as universal.
Right.
What the stories that he tells, you know, if you sit and listen to them, they're everybody's stories. There's stories of struggle. There's stories of people trying to get by, people trying to raise their kids. People haven't got enough jobs around. Yeah. You know, they're about, as he says, the stories are about people who make the world go round.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's why he has so many fans all over the world.
And I think that's absolutely true. But there is also a romance in the fact that he is American. Okay. So if you grow up far, far from places, and it's a bit of a joke, it sounds like a joke, but, you know, like places like the New Jersey Turnpike sounds really cool if you don't have to drive on it.
Right.
Yeah. We're in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I grew up knowing about the Spectrum.
Okay.
You know, I've seen videos of Springsteen singing When You Walk in the Room, you know, the song from, you know, at the Spectrum. I know what this place means to Bruce.
Okay.
Having never even been here, you know, because I know the history of that stuff, and it means more when you're not from there.
In 1987 in Britain, how popular was Bruce overall? Or were you kind of on your own listening to Bruce Springsteen?
So if you know your music, 1987 was Tunnel of Love.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruce has gone
no longer with the E Street Band.
He's gone over the...
It's an underrated album, by the way.
It's a masterpiece, but it's not born in the USA.
Right. Yeah.
So firstly, the people who liked him were the muscle-bound... They thought he was a muscle-bound, bombastic kind of person.
Right.
Yeah? Uh-huh. So if you're going to 16, when I was 16, people were into the Smiths. And Springsteen was like bombastic, super uber American. So that was one thing. And secondly, Tunnel of Love is a dark album about relationships and frailties of adulthood, which isn't going to be what the 16-year-old kids are going to like anyway.
Yeah.
So me and my friend Roops were basically on our own. And people were into Bross. They were into, you know, Curiosity Killed the Cat. They were into...
I like all that stuff.
They were into Cutting Crew. It's probably best not to admit that in public. And so, yeah, we were on our own. But the funny thing is, we didn't think that we were worse than them. We thought we were superior to the other people in the college because we knew more than they did because of the wisdom of Bruce.
Wow.
Hey, would you classify this movie as a musical?
No. I'd classify it as a quasi-musical and a British film. with music in it.
So do you know who John Carney is, by any chance? He wrote and directed the movies Sing Street.
Sing Street, yes.
So he does these movies that, like, I guess you could technically classify it as a musical, but as you're watching it, you're not like, you know, this isn't Song and Dance, Sound of Music, yeah, and all that sort of stuff. And I because I love music so great, yeah. I love music so much, and if it can be incorporated into a movie, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I loved Sing Street, and we've had some comparisons with that film.
Really,
and the same thing there was the music was an integral part of the kid's journey.
Yeah.
So it wasn't about song and dance music. It was like music was his way out to be cool and to get that girl, you know, be in a band, get the girl. And also, you know, I have been a fan of Springsteen's too since I was at school. And that's something that everyone finds very amazing, that me as an Asian woman in Britain would be into Springsteen. But we had a parallel love of the guy because he does speak to us, and that's how we became friends, because of our love of Springsteen.
I know you're a professional filmmaker, but isn't there a temptation when making a movie like this that's such a love letter to make it 4 hours long, to, you know, just to include every Bruce song that there ever was and to keep it going?
Well, at Sundance, the first time we saw the film with an audience, there were a lot of Bruce fans in the audience who'd sort of gone to Sundance to catch the first viewing. And after the film, one of the first questions I got asked was, I love the movie, but why did you make the song so short? I'm like, dude, no one wants a 4-hour movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm like you. I agree with you.
Surprise, I'm a huge Beatles fan. Someday I want to go to Liverpool. I want to see this area that motivated these guys to write this amazing music, where it was fostered, where they grew up. What was it about that place? You have come here. You've probably been here before, and you've been to Asbury Park. Have you gone around to see some of these places that you've heard about in song? And what's that like for you when you get a chance to see those?
Did you see the James Corden thing with McCartney when he went?
I loved it. Yeah.
So when I was 19, I went and did a pilgrimage to Asbury Park, and walked around and saw the boardwalk, and went to the convention center and stood outside the Stone Pony. And people always say, oh, God, it must have been so disappointing. But I was like, no, this is the real landscape that I mythologized and loved. And it was so moving and incredibly, like, validating to come back, 29 years later this week, with the film back in Asbury Park and actually get inside the convention center and actually get inside the Stone Pony. And, it's an incredible, incredible journey. And it's really, really lovely to have a film. And the other thing that was really incredible was to do a film which you think is very personal about Britain and the 80s and, you know, a kid from a migrant background, and to have people in Jersey and here all over the state saying, we recognise ourselves in this dad. We recognise ourselves in the character of Javed.
Yeah.
And that's really meaningful. You know, you think you're telling some sort of personal story about being a British kid.
And it resonates.
And the people in the place that you worshipped are saying they connected with it.
And to have a younger version of yourself jumping up on a poster in red, white, and blue, you know, the colour of the American flag, is a mighty thing.
It's true. So, and I'm dying to see it because, Gorinda, like you did with Bennett Light Beckham, you were talking about different cultures, and I saw that family having the same issues that I, of a completely different culture, have as well.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm dying to see this.
Well, I think my job as a filmmaker then is to take these stories and put them together and create, you know, 2 + 2 = 5. You know, that's you've got to have a film that has impact. So you've got to be true to the story, the true life story of the kid who's dreaming of writing and becomes a writer. And also, I'm very pleased that I was able to make a film with Bruce's songs that lived up to his legacy that he liked.
That's so cool.
That's the cool thing. After he saw the film, he said to me, he gave me a big hug and kissed me, and he said, thank you for looking after me so beautifully. But the film has to be, dare I say it, bigger than Bruce and bigger than Safraz for it to connect to people all over the world. And I have to make it a universal story, and I have to show that Bruce has words, but you don't have to be a Bruce fan. And that's the power of cinema. So right now, in terms of some of what we see around the world that's going on in terms of intolerance and hate, for me, it was really important to make a movie that had some kind of impact and was an antidote to what we were seeing around us.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, but now I'm thinking of a different question. No, I'm going to go back to the original question. what sort of musical avenues did Bruce open up for you?
Musical avenues? Well, I just want to say, before I say that, this whole universality thing, you know, when I was a kid, I would watch something like, say, Michael J. Fox on Back to the Future and completely connect with him as a little, as a teenager, or Ferris Bueller or whatever. And there's something really cool about people watching Vivek and Aaron on screen as Javed and Roops, as these Asian kids in England, but seeing themselves in that.
Yeah.
And seeing these people as everyday kids that they can connect with, even though they're not from a different country and they're from a different colour. And that's... that is really powerful, and that's really significant. And that says something about how brilliant their acting is. It says something about the story and the script. But that's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's really cool that they can see themselves as is that.
But that's my job. Yeah. That's my job to make sure
that
people...
how good they were. They were really good as well.
Absolutely.
But it all goes back to...
thank you, sir.
Starts with Bruce. You're starting with Bruce. You know, here's
the musical avenues question.
Yeah, yeah.
What I did was I got a bit of a spider's web. So I got into Bruce, and then because of Bruce, I got into Roy Orbison, and I got into Dylan... and I got into John Mellencamp.
Oh.
And so basically all the people that Springsteen liked,
yeah,
I started liking. And that kind of opened the door to Johnny Cash and that whole world.
I wanted to ask just a quick question to you, Vivek. I've been seeing these pieces about this movie, Voyagers. Are you a part of that film?
Yeah.
Yes. And it's coming out. And it's been likened. It's like a futuristic Lord of the Flies.
Yes.
This is a big thing. Are you still filming that?
Just finished filming a week before we started doing UK press. So we were out in Romania for 2 months, did that, and then hopped on UK press, and now we're in the US.
So you haven't stopped?
Yeah. It's quite cool that. It's pretty different. What's cool is like being like young and Asian, you can do stuff that's like this, that is about culture and like uplifting those people. And also something like that, which is totally unrelated, about like kids on a spaceship, and then Colin Farrell dies, and then we have to sort of figure our own lives out.
Just giving a spoiler.
You know what I mean?
It
and then everything,
right in the
everything, everything, you know, goes downhill from there. But
it's getting a good word of at least the I don't know who's seen what, but the anticipation for it's pretty high. So and it must be the opposite side of the coin from this very small story to space travel.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Certainly. Yeah. I mean, when you're in the context of the film is that, like, there are these kids that, you know, they are animal in nature because they haven't been affected by, you know, things we're affected by on a day-to-day basis, like the social norms, the culture, everything surrounding us. So it's an exciting thing and an exciting time.
Like the music of Bruce Springsteen, for example.
Certainly. Yeah.
Which could have really helped you out on that point.
Yeah.
Grinda, we have a fairly well-known director who lives in the area, and actually we're friends with Night Shyamalan. That the community is fairly small as far as directors go. Are you, do you have a connection with him at all?
No, I don't.
You've
never met him? I know him. Isn't Jonathan Demme from...
Yes.
Yes.
In fact,
directed
Philadelphia with a song by Bruce Springsteen called Streets of Philadelphia.
Exactly.
Comes back together. Aaron, what do you have to connect to this?
All roads lead back. But also, this is the home of Rocky, right? We passed the steps, and we're looking forward to running up them later.
There is a connection, because M. Night Shyamalan likes to make little cameos in his films, doesn't he? And there is a Gurinder cameo in Blinded by the Light.
There you go. Mm. Okay, are you playing Patty Scalfia?
No, I do have a Whitney Houston wig on there.
Yes, we are in the heart of Bruce Country right here. You know, Philadelphia was his next connection. I mean, New Jersey, obviously, and New York, but Philadelphia and this radio station in particular was an early, early Bruce Springsteen supporter. So, you know, we're just we're stoked that
we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Ed Shockey. I mean, he was a legendary DJ who worked here, and Bruce slept on his couch, you know.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about the history of Bruce Springsteen in Philadelphia, you kind of have to mention WMMR, and we're proud of that. You know, it's a neat thing to be able, and then to be able to talk to you guys about this and have the connection. It's
very
really
cool.
It makes it universal. It really unifies everybody.
Absolutely. And the remarkable thing is we would never have known that when our movie came out that Bruce Springsteen would be number one in 14 countries with a new album that is killing it. I mean, we could never have predicted that. That's what a great artist, you know, after five decades to still hold that position.
Well, the reviews are really wonderful, and they, you know, you're definitely on a streaker, and this is the kind of thing that speaks to so many people. And if you're, you know, listen, we love the big Marvel movies and all that stuff as well, but we love these kind of movies, and Bend It Like Beckham was love it. So it's a good menu item if you're going out to the movies. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we really need the support of people because it's not a big superhero movie as such. But, you know, August 16th, it's that opening weekend that counts.
Yeah.
So we really hope that people come out and support us. And I'm very proud of Aaron and Vivek, too, because I think they've got a great future ahead of them in the way the audiences are warming to them.
Yeah, the response, you're both getting cited for performances in the reviews, so that's excellent.
Congratulations to you. Thank you. Good luck with the opening. I'm sure it's going to do wonderful. Thank you guys for coming by.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
By the lights, Aaron, Vivek, Corinda, and Safraz, thank you guys. We are going to take a quick break. I feel like hearing Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and we'll come back and maybe we'll play a little Bruce. Stay with us. We'll return in a moment.
Want more Preston and Steve? Get the whole show podcast or Bizarre Files at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.